Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time now for Tadlick and Lyons on WEEI.
You know, one thing about the quarterbacks in this draft specifically that I'm excited about is they all look like they're really tough guys, which, you know, is obviously great at any position, but the quarterback position especially.
Hour two here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons alongside Mike Tadlick. Nico Manganiello is behind the glass producing for us. And I found Elliot Wolf's quotes relating to quarterback. I mean, look, they're not like earth shattering.
Right.
Definitely not a shot at Mac Jones at all, talking about toughness and body language and that. Yeah, no way. Yeah, it's nothing to do with Mac Jones.
The body language one was.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
F meet you.
Crossfires,
that's what that was.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Crosshairs right on
yeah,
Mac.
That's yeah. Exactly what that was. And I found this interesting. So Mass Live had an article this week about, you know, sources saying the Patriots plan a quarterback. And it basically boils down to, they're going to bring in a veteran, they're going to draft someone at number three, and they're going to trade Mac Jones.
Right.
Like, that's the core tenets of their plan at QB, to which I would say, duh, duh, and duh. But I think when you look at, like, I think that's a good plan
right.
for them going forward. And I wonder, though, like, who is the vet? Because if the vet's Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. the vet's going to play for you for more than 1 year.
Correct.
If the vet's Jacoby Brissett, he's going to play for you anywhere from 8 to 17 games. And then the rookie will take over.
Yeah. So, I look at it as far as like a vet. So say it's Baker Mayfield, right? If it's Baker Mayfield, I'm not taking a quarterback at three.
Right, because Baker, is he 29?
I think so.
Like he's under 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think if they go the Baker Mayfield road, I don't even think they're going to take a quarterback at three. Yeah, and so... But I look at, if we're going to, you know, talk about the plan that, you know, Karen, Mark, and Chris over at Mass Live sort of outlined here, is it's more of a Jacoby Brissett, maybe even Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is tough
because
he's out for two games. No, I know, but one of those guys.
I'll take you at quarterback instead.
I was wondering if
I'll
I can.
I'll take James Cahoon from BSU.
I want to throw at the combine next year. They
you should.
They have like Trace McSorley and... Kellen Mond out there, who are free agents. Yeah. I'm a free
agent. We should
agent.
Do a WEEI combine.
I'm down. We
like,
should
same
do
so
that.
Fourier and Wiggy will probably, like, Fourier will win the bench press.
Yeah.
Wiggy will win the bench press.
Yeah.
Fourier will probably win the broad jump or something. But there's a lot of other stuff.
Right.
Maybe we can compete. Like,
yeah.
I would love to see, like, Mike Kadlec versus Adam Jones in the 40-yard dash.
I think they were talking about this. Him and Mega were talking about this the other day, Jones running a 40. And he wanted to go against Wiggy because he thought that he could beat Wiggy in 100 yards, but maybe not 40 yards because he needs some time to catch up. Something like that.
Once Wiggy picks up steam, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I don't know.
Does he run out of gas at 100 yards?
That's it, probably.
That's
I think 100 yards.
That might be the key.
Back on track.
Yeah. You don't want to talk about the EEI combine?
I mean, we can do
it's the most fascinating thing. No, we'll save that for later in the hour.
Okay, I was going to say.
Final
segment. Yeah, we'll do
I'll get an angry text from Adam Jones. How dare you impugn my athletic ability?
Yeah. But no, I look at Jacoby Brissett as the guy. I think the connection, or Joe Flacco, right? Another one is Joe Flacco. Guys who played with Alex Van Pelt, understand the scheme, understand the system, know their role at this point in their career where maybe at some, like, does Jacoby Brissett really, I mean, obviously he wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he knows what he's going to be called upon to do. He did it in Indianapolis. He did it in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
He did it in Washington last season with Sam Howell. He knows his role. He'll come in here, help out a guy like Drake May, Jaden Daniels, know the system, start a couple games, and then go from there. So, like, my eyes immediately go to Brissett and Flacco as the veteran presence in the room.
I lean Brissett a little bit because he was here.
Sure.
Like, because I feel like the skill sets and the numbers, like, Flacco had better stats this year. And he actually, believe it or not, Flacco had the fifth best PFF grade of his career this year under Alex Van Pelt. I know a smaller sample size. But I like Brissett because, like you said, the role, and he knows, like, hey, I'm here to mentor this guy. But he's been here before. In the region, the coaches are pretty much all different,
right?
But there's a lot of people in the building
sure.
that are connected to when Jacoby Brissett was here. So I like that he won a Super Bowl here. Now, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, too.
He
so
did.
I would, whoever it is, I would like someone with Super Bowl experience.
Because sure.
that's eventually, in 2 or 3 years, right, that's your goal, is to be in Super Bowl contention. You want to have your young quarterback see how does a guy at that level prepare, how does a guy at that level practice. I just wonder if Brissett, like, they both had success with Alex Van Pelt. I get it, but
yeah,
I could see Joe Flacco maybe putting up better numbers, but I could see maybe Brissett, because he's done it in a couple different places, being a little bit more of that mentor
sure.
guy than maybe Flacco, because Flacco was behind Zach Wilson and he didn't get any mentoring.
Yeah, that's right? that's a good
right?
point.
So, like, I maybe trust
and Flacco
Brissett.
Was also called upon in Cleveland. To be the guy.
And if I'm Flacco, like, I just led a team to the playoffs. Like, why am I going to be, like, just some mentor either?
Yeah, a mentor or a guy who, even if you're going out there throwing for 300 yards a game and 5 touchdowns and you're winning, that they're going to sit down because they feel like the rookie's ready.
Yeah.
Which, that's where the Johnny Manziel being in the news lately with the whole his Club Shay Shay interview with Shannon Sharp and how he kind of threw Brian Hoyer under the bus. Like, Hoyer wasn't wasn't in the wheelhouse of being a mentor. He wanted to play football. Yeah. He wanted to start. And so he wasn't in that spot in Cleveland with Manziel there. I don't think Flacco's ever been in that position, nor would he really want to be.
Yeah.
Flacco was fine sitting on his couch, hanging out with his kids, being retired and being a multi-millionaire.
Rather than being a mentor.
Rather than being yeah. a mentor and a backup. He got called upon to play football and make more money, and he did it. And
yeah.
So I'm with you. I think Brissett is the more likely option that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, and I agree with you that, like, if they did sign Mayfield, I probably wouldn't take a guy
correct.
At three. So
yeah.
that's why I think Brissett, affordability-wise,
yeah.
he's probably going to cost you maybe a little less than Flacco.
Yeah.
Because I just think Flacco might have a market of, is there a team that thinks they can go deeper into the playoffs and get what they got, you know, what Flacco got last year. I think that's possible. And then
yeah.
at three, like, yeah, I think, we talked about it last segment, like, I would take, unless something drastic happens between now and the draft, I would take one of those three quarterbacks there.
Yeah.
Like, personally, you like Caleb Williams the best right now. I like Jaden Daniels the best. I may change my mind in 2 months. But even if you like a guy second best, third, like, they're all really good prospects.
Yeah, right,
like,
exactly.
That's, like, the third best quarterback, when they're this close, probably is more valuable than the best tackle or the best wide receiver.
So let's play this game. You like Jaden Daniels. Hypothetically speaking, he goes first. Hypothetically speaking, again, Marvin Harrison goes second. Patriots have the choice of Drake May, Caleb Williams at number three. Who do you take?
That's tough. It really is. You know, and I might lean May a little bit because I
really?
Think he
okay.
fits. Like, I identify him closer with Brissett and Flacco,
yeah.
which for Alex Van Pelt's offense.
Correct.
In that theme of it. But I don't know. Like, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Like, who do you lean there?
So you might have Caleb ranked third in this class.
I might. Like, I go back and forth. Like, I like Daniels the best. I kind of go back and forth
okay.
with. And I think, but I again.
Is it off the field stuff with Williams or is it on field?
So it's a little bit of the off the field, but it's more like the improvisational stuff looks cool and
yeah.
it's fun. But I think that can get you into trouble in the NFL.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
off
yeah.
schedule.
You need, like, to be able to play in structure
yeah.
more often than not. Right?
Like, I thought Tom Brady had a great quote a couple months ago about this when he was talking about quarterback play today. And he's like, yeah, guys run around and that's cool. But, like, I'm thinking, why'd you snap the ball? You weren't in
yeah.
the best play possible.
Correct.
And that's the only thing that I'm – and I think that's why having Lincoln Riley,
mm-hmm.
I think, makes a big – like, if he didn't have Lincoln Riley, I'd probably definitely have him third.
Sure.
Because he had Lincoln Riley and I trust Lincoln Riley, I could see him being – second, and who knows, maybe in a couple months I'll change my mind and
yeah.
he'll be first. But then the Mac Jones piece comes in, and I don't know how you could have Mac Jones on this roster
can't
on opening day. I just, and I know it's a clean slate with Mayo at head coach and Van Pelt and T.C. McCartney's the quarterback's
yeah.
coach. Like, I know that's a clean slate. I get it. But I just don't see how this guy can be, because it's just too – this is where you got to take maybe some of the football and the value out of it. Like, I think as a football player, I don't know how much he's going to contribute here anyway, because you're going to have bring in another veteran and
right.
have a guy at three. But this is also where, and I know this word has been thrown around, but like the vibes, the locker room fit. If you're Mac and you're the third QB, what if he whispers in the third overall pick's ears, like, yeah, I was you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They screwed me.
Right.
And even if he doesn't do that, his presence there,
it's weird.
And the rookie knowing, oh, yeah, this guy was the guy, and he's still, you know, in his mid-20s, like, wants to be a franchise guy. I'd say if I was Mac, I would want to go to Atlanta and maybe play with some of those good young weapons or go to San Francisco and sit for a year and learn behind that. And if I do end up playing, it's in that freaking offense.
If like, they keep Mac, he has zero role.
Yeah, like Zappe would have more of a role than
correct,
that. Because
right.
At least Zappe is accustomed to being a backup. Like
bingo.
He has been through.
Right.
You know, I know he ended up taking the starting job, but he was a backup for right. his entire career before that.
There would be no long-term plan for him to end up becoming the quarterback because they're going to have the number three pick who that's going to be your future of the franchise. He's obviously not the veteran presence to start because you're bringing that guy in Brissett or whoever. And then as the third guy, you're just sitting there waiting to be cut or traded.
Yeah,
I think that might be likely. He might be around for a little while. Granted, realistically, I think they're probably going to have a deal for him coming up shortly over like maybe free agency.
I would
like
want to get rid of him before minicamp.
They got to cut bait now and not even have him in the room, like you said. And not, I don't expect Mac Jones to be a guy to be doing that type of whispering in the ear stuff, but his presence alone in the room working out, it's like, why is this guy here? Why am I here? Like, I would rather he... For his own good and the team's own good, you just got to cut bait and move on.
Yeah, and we don't have to relitigate the whole thing, but I think it's fair to say, like, he didn't handle it well.
Right.
He ended up falling apart, but he did kind of get screwed by the team. And there's still that, like, if I'm the third overall pick, there's that air of that every time I see him. Whereas, again, Zappe, fourth-round pick, accustomed to being a backup.
Right.
Like, I think if Zappe is your, like, if you start the season with, let's say, Brissett's your starter, Zappe's the two, and Jaden Daniels is the three developing, that's fine. Or...
yeah.
You know, flip Zappe and Daniels, whatever you want to do.
Sure.
Like, I think if those are your three guys, that's fine. Now, I would certainly be okay with them also having a Joe Milton or a Jordan Travis as either a practice squad quarterback, or if you want to carry three quarterbacks and two of them be rookies, that's fine with me. But, like, I think there's a path for Zappe to be on this team in 2024. I don't see a path for Mac Jones to be on this team.
100%. No, I'm with you. That's, it doesn't make sense. He's better off elsewhere. He'll have a chance to compete elsewhere. We talked about Skarnecchia talking today with the New England Football Journal, how he said he likes Mac Jones and still thinks, you know, there's good football left in him. Whether you agree with that or not, I think you can understand that he had played good football at one point, and for his own good, it's better off for him to just, again, clean slate, new place, chance to start. I don't want to say he deserves it because you don't deserve anything. You got to go get it. And that's just the nature of the business. But I think he deserves an opportunity to try and be a starter for more than just 1 year as a bridge guy, right?
Sure.
Like, go to Atlanta, like you mentioned. Go to New Orleans. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, places
or
like that.
Or back up Jared Goff in Detroit, back up Brock Purdy, you know, in San Francisco.
Sure.
These great systems to learn from. Because I will even say, on a side note, like, when I watched Sam Darnold play this year in garbage time, admittedly, for the 49ers, like, he did look better than what we saw on the Jets and the Panthers.
Right.
And I know it's a small, very small, but like that's something Mac Jones should be shooting for to try to develop there. Or like you said, try to be, you know, in a place where he could actually, or like if Baker Mayfield leaves Tampa Bay.
Right.
Like go to, like somewhere you could actually be the starter.
Yep.
So we've talked a ton of Patriots and it's been great. But we do have to talk about the best team in town coming up with a huge matchup against Golden State tomorrow. That's the Boston Celtics. We're going to get to that right after this trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Update.
The Greg Show. Weekdays, 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Speaking of those Boston Celtics, they got their 10th straight win last night in a beatdown of the Dallas Mavericks, 138-110. Jason Tatum led the way with 32 points and 8 rebounds. They return to action tomorrow afternoon to take on Golden State in Boston at 3:30. The Bruins are in New York tonight taking on the Islanders. Linus Ullmark is expected to start in net. Puck drop is 7:30 p.m. New England Revolution, they will be in action tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. The Patriots cut J.C. Jackson. They are now over $100 million in cap space. And if you missed it earlier on WEEI, the Boston Red Sox beat the Washington Nationals 4-2 in spring training action. I'm John Lyons. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
The Greg Hill Show.
One of the newest members of the Boston Red Sox who's with us right now, Liam Hendricks.
What's the vibe like in the clubhouse? If you come to spring training not expecting to win, you're doing something wrong. We got a lot of guys out there with a lot of things to prove. All it takes is for a good first month, a good first couple of weeks for a lot of these guys to buy into the fact that, oh crap, we can actually do this.
Did you miss something? Listen to the podcast on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10 on New England Sports Original. WEEI. WEEI.
Hey, it's Fourier. Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. Bet all your favorite NBA players and teams with quick bets, live same game parlays, exclusive props, and more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Fourier. And shoot your shot. That's FanDuel.com/Fourier. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. And you got to be 21 plus and present in Mass to play. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 800-GAM-1234.
March is a critical time to check your home's windows. If yours are cracked or leaking or won't open or stay open, then it's time to call the pros at Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you get two windows free, plus zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder thousands have trusted Window Nation. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Injured in a car accident, truck accident, Uber Lyft accident, or slip and fall? Call Rubenstein Law. 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. Offices in Boston and Westwood. Rubenstein Law. Your Boston personal injury lawyers. Also open on weekends.
The Taste the Mediterranean event is happening now at Whole Foods Market, with savings on regionally inspired selections like grill-ready proteins, fresh produce, Mediterranean wines, and more through March 19th, only at Whole Foods Market.
Old Man Winter here. One more snowstorm.
Not a chance, Mr. Winter. It's spring.
It's also time for the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all our award-winning Hyundai models, all backed by America's best warranty. Hurry in. These deals won't last at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
You've heard it said, he's a diamond in the rough. Or maybe, diamonds are forever. Here's something else I've learned about diamonds. They're just pieces of coal put under pressure for a long, long, long time. So, when I start feeling like I want to give up, I think about that little piece of coal. And if that piece of coal can make something of itself by not giving up, so can I. Persistence is in you. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to Cadillac and Lions on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons alongside Mike Cadlick.
Yep.
Nico's producing for us. We are going to talk Celtics in this segment. Huge game against Golden State tomorrow. They had a huge win, not just last night, but a really important one against Philly earlier this week. I'm going to tell you why. But first, I want to get to Matt in Rhode Island. Got Matt on the line here. Matt, welcome into the program. What do you got?
Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up, man? Obviously, I'm not a scout or anything. I just think Drake May, for the third pick of the draft, like, he would have been lighting teams up this year, and he really wasn't. And also, he takes a long time to get rid of the ball. If you watch him throw, like, that might not play in the NFL. But what I really like to say is, like, if that falls to you in the draft, and so many teams want to try to get him from behind, I think you make that trade and get another first-round pick to hopefully who you think the worst team is, so you get the best pick next year. You get their pick, which is hopefully from, I don't know, 5th to 12th pick this year. And I just think that J.J. McCarthy, I mean, I don't think he's that far behind May. And he's pretty gritty and competitive kid. Like, I think he's going to take, you know, I think he can close the distance on him. But I do like Marvin Harrison, too. So there's so much time left. Well, I guess we'll see. Good show, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call. Look, I think the only way I trade down is – If Washington doesn't take a QB, because then there's going to be multiple guys available later in the top five. But even if they do, it would have to be some sort of like 3 or 4 first round pick, or like if the Vikings want to give me like a first round pick and Justin Jefferson, like that's because I just think quarterback is so valuable.
Yep,
you have to have that. We've seen it here in the last couple of years. When you don't have the guy there, you can have a playoff defense. You can have the greatest coach of all time. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to be good.
Yep.
Like, I know they won 8 games 2 years ago. Yeah, you went 8-9, missed the playoffs. This year, 4-13. Like, you, if you don't have the quarterback, you're not going to be good.
And so, I look at, like, the Bears, right? Like, they've sort of been kind of middling around that, right? Like, they had Justin Fields, but they took him. He was the 4th quarterback off the board. Then they trade back, and they keep Fields, and now they're in this spot at 1 where it's like, it looks like they're finally going to, you know, try and get their guy again in Caleb at number 1, but they would have the opportunity to get a king's ransom for the number one pick, but then they're just pushing the problem back even more. Yeah. And that's what I think the Patriots would be doing if they trade down. They're just pushing the quarterback problem back, where you have the opportunity now to get one of these top tier guys. I think you just do it, especially, again, it depends on what the scouting, you know, department and everything thinks. Like, this is just my opinion. I would take them. If they're not high on the guy, don't force it, but it's, you always need the quarterback. You look at Patrick Mahomes, you look at everybody else in the league right now, like the best teams, you have the quarterback. You need it in the league, go get it, and don't think twice about it.
Yeah, fun fact about Justin Fields and the Bears, lowest 4th quarter passer rating in the NFL last year. So
yeah,
he did get better, I felt like, as the year went on, but if you're 3 years in and you're not sure, I think that kind of gives you your answer right there, that he's not the guy. Yeah, I mean, the only way I'm trading down is if there is, like, 3 first-round picks, like something crazy.
Right.
And again, one of those is you're still in the top 10. So, like, if Atlanta at 8 offers me 8th overall and 2 more first-round picks, okay, then maybe, because then I can still get a great player at 8, you know. And also, too, I know we talked about this last segment, and if you missed any of it, you can hear it on the Odyssey app or WEI.com.
Yep.
If they sign Baker Mayfield, okay, then maybe I would trade down. But even then, I might want to take Marvin Harrison Jr. Look, we've talked Patriots, and thanks again for the call. But we've talked Patriots for, what, an hour and a half now? Because we started the show early,
yeah,
thanks
at least
to the Red Sox ending. Hour and 40. I do want to talk Celtics now.
Fine.
Big game tomorrow.
They're only the best team in the city.
Yeah, 45-12. By the way, 9-1 in February with the Celtics. That's their best February record in franchise history.
Wow.
9-1. And that one game they lost was February 1st against the Lakers without LeBron or AD, of course, right? 9-1.
Yeah, that's crazy. They really should be undefeated in the month of February.
Yeah, it's crazy, including last night, which was obviously March 1st. They won 10 in a row after that beatdown of Dallas, 138-110. But I want to talk for a minute about their game Tuesday night against Philly. And I don't want to just talk about it because I was there in the stands. I want to talk about it because I think it was sneakily one of their more important, maybe not the most important, but one of their more important wins of the year. And we'll get Joe Mazzulla here. He's going to tell us why he thinks that is.
So
So is that what makes it the best win of the year? Just like
I didn't say the best win, they're one of the best games of the year.
One of the best games of the year. So yeah.
From the information that we're able to extract from it, and like we were guarded differently than we have throughout the year, and how we were able to execute in it. So it gives us something to work on.
So how were you guarded? That
they switched and tried to take away threes and forced us to play dribble drive. And so as long as you take care of the ball and you play physical and you don't turn it over and you get to the free throw line. We were really, really efficient in the paint. And then once we were able to take away their multiple shot possessions and then get the certain guys that we wanted to shoot and make sure we contested, then it kind of evened itself out, you know. And so that game can be a misleading game of, like, is it math or is it effort? And sometimes it's both, and sometimes it's just you have to keep the effort up until the math plays itself out. And I thought our guys did a good job of that.
And that is Joe Mazzulla talking about the win Tuesday night. And the reason I wanted to go back to Tuesday before we talk about last night is when we've seen the Celtics fail – the last couple of years in the playoffs. 2022, they're 5 minutes away from a 3-1 lead over Golden State, but they cannot execute offensively in the last 5 minutes. They can't overcome it. They end up, the series is tied 2-2. We know what happened. Last year against Miami, there was a lot of problems, but one of them was they struggled to execute in the last 5 minutes of games offensively. We saw it multiple times against Miami. And even in 22, when they made the finals, like we saw it in the Golden State series in Game 4. We saw it in Game 6 against Miami, Game 5 against Milwaukee. Like that was a common theme. Even this past year against Atlanta in Game 5, a game that they should have won and ended the series and ended up taking them 6. We saw it obviously in Game 4 against Philly. Like I have all these examples. Sure. Because when they're not hitting threes or teams do a good job guarding the three-point line, they have immensely struggled the last 2 years. And part of it was Marcus Smart's an inconsistent three-point shooter, so teams would leave him open and focus on other guys. But even if he was hitting his shots, if the Celtics weren't, they didn't have that other piece. And that's, of course, where Kristaps Porzingis is immensely valuable. And you look at Tuesday night, the Celtics were 5 of 22 from 3, so the percentage was dismal. That was a season low in 3 points made. Yeah. It was also a season low in three-pointers attempted. Yet they shot 65% from 2. They were 34 of 37 from the free throw line. So they won essentially without the three-pointer.
Yep.
Like Philly, I think, shot almost twice as many threes as them, hit a bunch more. And I know Joel Embiid didn't play. I get it. I'm talking about, like Mazzulla said, the style of how they were defended. Because if I'm a team that's going to – if I'm Milwaukee, if I'm Philly in the playoffs, if I'm Denver, if you get that far, of Phoenix – I'm all over the three-point line because Tatum is an elite three-point shooter. Derek White, actually, I think, is shooting over 40% from three this year. Like, Celtics are a three-point shooting team. Can you defeat teams that do that or nights you don't have it? And I thought Tuesday night was a great example of they're going to have to win at least a couple playoff
games
identity. That way. Yeah,
100%.
Like, they're going to win playoffs games hitting a bunch of threes.
Yeah.
You know that. I know that. If they're going to win a championship, there's going to be a game in the finals or in the Eastern Conference Finals, or both, where they have to win where they get outshot from the three-point line.
That's sort of been their thing. Again, you mentioned it, but like the last couple of years where they get knocked down or knocked out of the postseason, and they've been one of the better teams in basketball for the last, call it, 5 years now. Now Tatum and Brown continue to emerge. Tatum's obviously, you know, MVP candidate, top five player, just like he was last year. For them to be able to, like, and again, they rely on the three. They live and die by the three. Not necessarily live and die by,
but I think they used to.
That's kind of, yeah, that's where I'm going. It's like, they used to do that, and the fact that we're now seeing what we saw on Tuesday, where they can change their identity, and instead of getting knocked off course, first of all, they get knocked off course in, the finals, or the conference finals last year. They wilter, they die, they lose. It happened a couple years ago. Something gets knocked off course, and they can't shift focus. They live and die by the way they play basketball. Tuesday night shows the exact opposite, changing identity. Again, you mentioned lowest three-pointers made, lowest three-pointers attempted. Like, that's how you know that this basketball team is going to be legit, is because, again, they can shift that identity. Like,
yeah, and I think this is where the value of Porzingis. Like, at the All-Star break, he had the best shooting percentage in post-up attempts.
Yep.
And he was shooting an average of 27 feet away from the basket on three-pointers. Like, a guy that can be great in both of those areas. There's really no one else in the NBA quite like that. And I know Karl Anthony Towns can hit some threes, and I know Joel Embiid is immensely
dominant. Come on, dude.
He won
a three-point contest.
But
that's cat.
But with Porzingis being able to be elite at both, yeah, I think is just, again, it's so unique to have in general, but that to me is going to make or break. Like, Tatum's the best player. Brown's a supermax guy. I love Derek White. He should have been an all-star. Jrue Holiday's won a championship. The guy that's going to make or break it is Porzingis, and I think Tuesday night, we saw a perfect example of that. Yeah. When the three was, this is a game, Mike, no doubt in my mind, they lose last year. And yeah. they probably lose the year before.
Right.
Don't have Embiid. The Celtics probably come in not fully focused. Mm-hmm. They're not hitting their threes. Let's not forget, game one of the second round last year, Celtics didn't shoot as well for most of the game. Sixers didn't have Embiid. Sixers won game one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we similarly started happening like 8 months ago.
And it'd probably be one of those games, too, where they get knocked off track for like maybe a week or two. Right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not...
They don't recover.
They hadn't... That was the thing for them for a while, too, is they get knocked off course, and then they don't recover for a while.
Yeah.
Now you're seeing it. That Lakers game, the 9-1, right? They still won the 9 other games yeah. this month. If that Lakers game had happened last year, the year before, they might have lost two straight. They might have lost 3 out of 4. Like, they... Yeah. Again, they got knocked off course, and they... I think they realize what they have now, and they know how... Again, they just... Yeah. They know how to play basketball.
Yeah. A, they're like, better. But yeah. B, even, like, Tatum, Brown, they've grown more. They're more mature, for sure. They're playing Golden State tomorrow. This is a good example. Last season, they played Golden State on the road on a Saturday night in December. They lose.
Correct.
And they played 500 ball the next 2 weeks.
Right.
This year... They blew a game in Golden State in December, which is still bad, but they blow a game, and they came out, and they dominated the rest of that road trip. Blew out Sacramento, blew out the Clippers, blew out the Lakers on Christmas Day. Like, they were able to recover, which I think is immense, because, again, when you get knocked off, how do you recover?
Right.
It seems like in-game, Philly showed us they could, and I'm really interested to see Golden State tomorrow, because this is still a team. They still have Steph.
Mm-hmm.
They still have, like, it... Some people look at Golden State as, oh, they're not the championship team of a couple of years ago. First of all, they've been really good over the past month playing basketball, especially since Klay's been coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still Golden State. And I think for this, like, if the Celtics are going to win a championship, health is the biggest thing, Mike, obviously, especially with Porzingis. There is a mental thing, which I can sit here and think, like, oh, I think they have it this year, the mental thing. But they do have to show us that.
Yeah.
And we've seen some signs of it, right? Sweeping that homestand of 5 games. After the in-season tournament when they beat Cleveland twice, and I think they beat Orlando twice,
yeah.
games they didn't win last year, you know, recovering from the Golden State loss earlier this year, winning Tuesday, dominating last night. But I still need to see, like, can you beat Golden State in a key game?
Right. The regular season is the regular season in the NBA. Like, we'll call it what it is. Yeah, it's good to see them kind of hit adversity and strive through it, but is it really adversity? Like, is it really being down 3-1, 3-2 in the finals or the semifinals? Like, no, it's not. I want to see this team hit a legit bump once the postseason comes around and then power through it and not, again, losing a road game when you're already the best team in basketball when it doesn't really matter if you win or lose the ballgame.
And that's why I think these next 2 weeks, because I agree with you on the whole about the regular
yeah.
season, but I think there's been two stretches this year of the regular season where I really look at, like, how is this going to show them as a playoff team? And the first one was that homestand with Cleveland, with Orlando, and they swept that homestand. Then they had a good West Coast trip after. The other one is these first 2 weeks of March. Right? Like, think about it. You have Dallas last night,
yep.
which is a playoff team. You have Luka, top 5 player in the league. You have Kyrie, who we all know and hate.
Shout out our guy Justin Turpin pointed this out on Twitter yesterday. Kyrie Irving is now 0-5 against the Celtics since stopping on the Lucky logo.
Yeah,
and he's 0-10 in his last game overall against the Celtics.
Yes,
so F Kyrie.
Maybe you shouldn't have. Yeah, and how about yeah. when he burned Sage last year? I don't.
Yeah,
that like pissed me off so much, and he did it again last night. But these first 2 weeks of March, like you have, and if you want to throw in the Philly game at the end of February, but you have Dallas with Kyrie and Luka last night, Golden State tomorrow, Cleveland, who's going to be a top 4 seed in the East on Tuesday, then you go to Denver
yeah.
on Thursday night, could be a finals preview. And then another potential finals preview 2 days later, Saturday night primetime against Phoenix on the 9th. And then you have Phoenix again on the 14th with Portland and Utah in between. These first 2 weeks of March, I think, are going to give us a real, like, are they actually on the level of a
champ? Yeah.
Like, I think they're the best team in basketball right now.
Yep.
They're the only team who's top 3 in offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating in all 3 categories, right? I think, but the regular season, you can only learn so much. I think this is a stretch in the regular season where we can actually really
yeah,
learn something.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's good. So, wait, who do they have coming up now?
So, Golden State, obviously, tomorrow.
Yep.
But then it's at Cleveland,
okay.
at Denver. Like, to me, that three-game
yeah,
stretch.
100%, yeah.
And then at Phoenix after. Like, that's a week of basketball where you're playing 4 playoff teams.
Yep.
And the last two are very well could be playing in the Western Conference Finals in Phoenix, in Denver. You could be playing Cleveland in the East Finals, depending
right.
on
how
things, like,
out.
If Embiid
yeah.
doesn't come back healthy.
Right.
You could end up playing Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think these 2 weeks, to me, are a massive, massive stretch.
I bet Jason Tatum to win the MVP a couple weeks ago.
Was that plus 4,000?
It was plus 4,000.
There it is.
What do you make of it?
So,
can he win it?
I think, like, here's the thing. I think Jokic is probably going to win it because I do think Jokic is a little bit of a better player. They're the defending champs. Yeah, he's right. Won multiple MVPs, but I don't think it's a bad bet,
okay.
Especially with Embiid out. Like, to me, Embiid was kind of the MVP before he went out. But now, like, okay, he is the best player on the best team.
Right.
And a lot of times that's the MVP.
Yep.
Now, the one guy I look at, though, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Mm-hmm. Like Oklahoma City is an elite team, top two team in the West. They have young guys everywhere. Like, if I made my all-NBA first team, like, it would be Giannis, LeBron, Luka, Tatum, and probably SGA.
Yeah.
And maybe Jokic instead of Giannis or something.
Sure.
But, like, SGA's in that conversation.
Right, right.
He's a first team or high second team all-NBA guy with a hugely young team. And we saw them beat the Celtics on, what was it, January 3rd? Yeah. Like, they beat the Celtics, but they've been awesome this year. They beat the Celtics. They beat Denver. They look like a team that could go to the NBA Finals. And I think Denver will ultimately beat
Presti
them.
Presti has kicked butt there.
And how many, what do they have, a million first-round picks?
That's the thing. And yeah,
left
right.
to go.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
that first team all-NBA, because you mentioned MVP, like that first team, like I have Tatum on it.
Yep.
And I have Jokic on it. And then it's like, okay, I have SGA, but now like, do you leave like a guy like Kevin Durant off?
I know.
Do you leave Steph Curry? Do you leave LeBron off? Do you leave Giannis? Like one of those, two of those four guys are getting
tough.
Left off.
Yeah.
And I know Embiid's out. If Embiid was healthy, he'd be in there. Like that's tough. But that's why I lean SGA right now is kind of my MVP pick. But as far as Tatum, like he talked, and I think this has been relevant over the last couple of weeks. Like he's talked about, yeah, I could put up 30 a night. I don't put up 30 a night, but we want, like, we're winning here.
Right.
We want to win.
Sustainable basketball.
Yeah, right. Like, I think that is something that when we look at this two-week stretch, Tatum's going to go, he goes against Luka last night. Now, he has 32-8.
Yeah.
But he only had 2 points in the first quarter. He kind of settled in. Celtics came out playing pretty well. That third quarter, by the way, the Celtics, since the All-Star break, plus 39 in the third quarter, something they sucked at. For like, I feel like 3 years was playing in the third quarter. They're plus 39. They've outscored all four teams in the third quarter since the All-Star break. So
they're turning it around.
We can start
everything
playing.
Everything we've complained about the Celtics over the last couple of years, they're like doing
and
the opposite.
Credit to Brad Stevens.
100%.
Because whether it was
Brad's the best executive in basketball.
Sticking with Joe Mazzulla or making the bold move for Porzingis, the bold move for Holiday, he's been aggressive to correct a lot of those flaws. I mean, Nico, we could probably play that Lego song, Everything is Awesome, now, because I feel like whenever we talk about the Celtics, just like, everything is
it's
awesome.
Easy. Yeah.
But that's where I think Stevens deserves a lot of credit.
Yep.
Like, it would have been very easy for Brad Stevens to say, Marcus Smart's our leader, he's been here a long time, defensive player of the year, we're going to keep him.
Right.
Or, yeah, we have Porzingis, but I want to keep Malcolm Brogdon and Robert Williams. They're key guys. Williams is a core guy. We signed him to an extension. He was aggressive, and they were not easy moves to make, especially that Porzingis one. They're much better off for it, and they're much better now. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I want to see with Tatum, because he talked about, hey, I don't need to be the MVP. You know, of course he wants to be the MVP, but I could score 30 a night, and I don't. Like, you played Luka last night, you scored 32. You play Steph Curry tomorrow, Donovan Mitchell on Tuesday, Jokic and Murray on Thursday, of course Durant and his buddy Bradley Beal next Saturday. Like, if Tatum goes toe-to-toe with these guys, like he didn't outscore Luka, but I think he played a better overall game and they won. If he starts playing better than Steph tomorrow, Donovan Mitchell, then Jokic, if he outplays those guys or three out of those four guys, then we might be looking at him as the leader in the MVP.
Big week for my 40-1 bet then.
Yes.
I'll take it.
So what are you going to walk away with $4,000 if he wins the MVP?
No, I didn't do $100 on it. I did $25 on it.
Okay.
$25 to win
so
a grand.
So you get $1,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that you'd be able to pay for NBA Finals tickets.
Exactly. Yeah. So me and you, we're going.
All right. I was going to go with my dad. I'll tell him that I'll go with you instead.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Dad, if you're listening.
Yeah,
Mike's going to take me to the finals.
Yes.
So for free. We got that. We're going to save that tape, Nico. He's going to take me for free. But that's the thing.
If Tatum wins the MVP, me and Lions go to an NBA Finals game.
Yeah, and
if
Ken
they go
Laird, if you're listening, can you just get us a pass to go?
Oh, yeah, that'd be much easier. Then I don't have to burn my $1,000. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to get a text from him. Leave me alone. That's what's going to be coming in next. But that's the thing. Like, again, these next 2 weeks for the Celtics, I think, is arguably the most important stretch of the regular season because you're in March, gearing up for the playoffs, the quality of teams you have coming, and not just the quality of teams, the quality of opposing superstars, where you're at and how well you've been playing. Like, what if they lose tomorrow to Golden State? Do they recover? Because they got to play a good Cleveland team right after and then a good Denver team. If they lose to Denver, do they recover against Phoenix? Like, that's what I would really like to see.
Yep.
Mike, believe it or not, we are approaching the final segment of the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Flies by when you're having fun, doesn't it, John?
I know. And, I may or may not have dinner plans at 6, so I may run out of here and just let you do the last segment.
Where are you headed?
West End Grill in Randolph.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to be late.
You are going to be late.
Shout out to the boys. I will be there.
Okay.
But, I will be late. But I may just leave and let you do the last segment.
Yeah. Me and Nico can take care of it if you want.
Of course. But we will be right back with the last segment of Lions and Cadillac, a.k.a. Cadillac and Lions, coming up next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
Red Sox fans, tune in all season to hear 2024 Ford Frick Award winner Joe Castiglione headed for Cooperstown this summer.
Can you believe it?
Every Red Sox game is live on the free Odyssey app with WEEI 93.7 FM. Don't miss a single Devers dinger.
It is off the top of the wall and gone. Home run number 31 for Rappy.
AUDACY. Download the free Odyssey app today.
Live games available for fans in market only.
Hey, it's Jones for ESPN Bet. It's now live in Massachusetts. As the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Hope is here. Call 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Have to be 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Find organics for less at Whole Foods Market. Get organic asparagus for $3.99 per pound with Prime through March 5th. Tossed in lemon and butter, they make the ultimate side dish. While supplies last, shop in-store or online. Terms apply.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-200-1966. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-200-1966. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-200-1966. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-200-1966, 800-200-1966, or biglou.com.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. For over 35 years, my mission has been to deliver more for our clients. Today, Morgan & Morgan has more offices, more staff, and more lawyers than any other injury firm in the world.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
John Sewer and Drain Cleaning is the name to know when your drains don't flow. If your home or business has a clogged drain, call the name trusted by the pros. John Sewer is also hiring technicians at their Norwood location to handle growing demand in southeastern Massachusetts. To join New England's most experienced team, go online to johnsewer.com to apply today.
The name to know when the drains don't flow. John Sewer. We get the job done.
Today, 1 in 5 working-age Americans has a mental health condition.
People in all types of jobs and at all levels.
And the key to helping us succeed is a supportive and inclusive workplace.
All of us have a role to play in making that happen.
So what can I do to help?
As a CEO, I can set the tone for supportive culture.
As a manager, I can offer assistance and accommodations.
As a coworker, I can listen and be a source of support to my colleagues.
As someone with a mental health condition, I can ask for what I need to perform my best.
I can offer all employees the supports they need to deliver on the job, for the team,
and for the business.
What can I do?
What can I do?
What can I do?
I can remind others
that we all benefit from workplaces that promote good mental health.
Mental health-friendly workplaces are more important than ever,
and all of us have a role to play in promoting them.
Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at Salsa Night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank NA, member FDIC.
Picture this. It's Saturday morning and you're on your John Deere compact tractor. You're effortlessly breaking ground on your new landscaping project. Next, you're moving piles of rocks just by moving a lever. And now, you're enjoying the warmth of the sun as you clear brush across your pasture. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand everything you can do with a John Deere compact tractor, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
Back to Cadillac and Lions on WEEI.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dreams.
Back here on EEI. I'm John Lyons alongside Mike Cadillac.
Live look at the Celtics locker room.
Yes, that song is from Mike's Spotify. He pulled it up. And yes, so everything is awesome with the Celtics. Hopefully it stays that way. Tell you, Mike, the one team that everything is not awesome, and we haven't talked about them yet, the Bruins.
Yeah.
They had the 5-4 win over Vegas, but they're up 3-0. They squander that. It becomes 4-4. Mason Lowry gets the goal late. They win in regulation, which I'm hoping that builds their confidence. But we're talking about a team that had lost 7 of their previous 9 games,
yeah,
including 3 in a row. All 3 of those, you know, previous losses in overtime. You know, I wonder, like, they've had one of these stretches almost every month. Like in late November, they lost 4 out of 5. Then in December, they lost 4 in a row. Then in January, they lost 4 out of 5. Then, of course, in February, they had the 4 losses in a row prior to winning a couple, and then these last 3. So they've had, like, it feels like 1 week every month where there's been a bad, yeah, stretch. And what worries me is a lot of the things we've seen in this bad stretch, not clearing pucks, not hanging on to leads, that could get you a bad week in April. And you have a bad week in April, you're out of the playoffs.
Yep, you're gone. See ya.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I'm worried about the Bruins, like, all over the place, I think. And the main thing, what you just mentioned, is the blown leads. Like, they get up
that's
early.
That's a problem. Like,
and
a
that's
real
a real problem that, like, it's not like they, obviously, they haven't done anything to solve it. Like, it's not like, oh, well, like, you need to, I don't know, you need to get better at these things.
And this
like,
is
you,
something, sorry to cut you off,
no,
Mike,
you're
but
good.
We saw in the playoffs against Florida, like, yes, I think it was a mistake not to start Swayman in Game 5 or Game 6. But even in those games, like, they had a lead in Game 6. They had so much trouble clearing the puck,
yep,
out of their own zone in that series against Florida. They struggled with it in Game 5. They struggled with it in Game 6. Struggled with it in Game 7. And that led to goals for Florida, and
right,
we've seen it again. Like, they couldn't clear the puck out of their own zone against Vancouver. They had a 2-0 lead in the third period against Vancouver. Can't clear the zone late. They end up giving up the tying goal, I think, with 1:11 to go.
Yeah.
They lose in overtime. Seattle, they lose in the shootout. I think it was the Kings game a couple weeks ago, another one. They had a lead with less than a minute to go, right around there. Give up the goal, lose in overtime. Like, you do that once in late April, and you could be eliminated, let alone the fact that they've been doing it left and right over the past year, but especially over the past few weeks.
Yeah, and big picture with them, too. I wonder, like, okay, they've bought at the deadline probably 4 out of the last 5, 6 years, right?
Yeah, like probably the COVID year in 2019 was probably the only year I feel like they didn't.
Yeah, and because of that, they haven't really been able to build through the draft, like, early anyway. Like, they haven't really had first-round picks. They haven't hit on first-round picks. And so, at what point do you stop, do you look at this team right now, and is it like, okay, maybe we don't buy. Maybe we keep our picks. Maybe we start a little bit of a rebuild here. We've already sort of done that with Pastrnak. We have Jeremy Swayman as our goalie long-term. But
or say McAvoy.
McAvoy,
like, that's,
yeah,
that's your core.
Right, that's what I'm,
right,
saying. But, like, Marchand's probably on his way out soon-ish. I know he's the captain now, but he's not long for it. Do you trade a guy like Omark? Do you, yeah, stash your picks and try and grab picks and start selling? Like, and I look at, you know, qualities of your team like blown leads. Now, granted, that's not really personnel. I mean, it's personnel, but
I
it's
think
not
at
like,
some point it's like they did this under Cassidy a little,
right,
bit, but they've done it. I do blame Montgomery to a point because I feel like they played too conservative in their own end,
yep,
late. Part of that is the quality of guys maybe they have as opposed, like, this is to me where you really miss a Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
And we knew the obvious, like, he retires, like, it's going to suck not having him.
Right.
They're getting killed in the faceoff dot. Over the last couple weeks, they've been getting smoked at the face, especially in key situations,
yeah,
when they need a faceoff win. They're not getting those clearing attempts when they really need it. Like, those key situations, that extra defensive play that's not on the stat sheet, that you can't really, they're not getting that play.
Right.
and it's costing them games. And this is a team, like, they have 84 points. They're tied for the most points in the NHL, so we're talking about them like they suck. But they don't. But to your point, like, I don't think I buy with this team. Like, I'm not saying I'd sell. Like, if I could trade Ullmark and get a top
14 overtime losses, John.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the same sound to look at, you know, when what's coming up for them. 35-12. It's like, okay, they've won 35 games. They've lost 12. Yeah. They've lost another 14 in overtime.
Right. That's, and in playoff that's 26 losses.
Right.
Like, and I know it's not the same thing. Like, they're losing these games.
You're literally losing games. Right.
And so I wouldn't necessarily sell. Like, would I trade Ullmark if you could get a great center or a great top six scoring threat? Oh, then I'd entertain it.
Sure.
I'm not selling, though. God, like, I'm not doing the problem. They have no cap space to buy.
Yeah.
So in order, you're going to have to trade DeBrusque or Ullmark probably to get a significant piece. But I'd probably stand pat with these guys. Like, okay, I think they could get to the second round of the playoffs and then we'll see. But you have this core of, you know, Pasternak, McAvoy, Swayman. At some point, you got to be building around that core. Like, you took a shot at the cup in 2019. You took one at last year. You didn't get it. I respect them for taking that shot. Now, again, I'm not saying sell, but I'm not trading future because they don't even have a first-round pick this year. I'm not trading future first and second-round picks, which maybe you could use next year at the deadline or you could just use to pick guys, because I don't think this team, even if you add like you did last year, like a Bertuzzi-type player, an Orlov-type player, I don't know if they're good enough to win the cup. I think they're good enough to get to the second round, maybe the conference finals. I don't know if they're a cup team.
No, they're not.
And that's why
hockey's tough because anything can happen, but I'm with you. I don't think that they're objectively talented enough to go all the way.
Yeah,
I
agree. So I think the trade deadline, though, coming up this week is fascinating to me, because do you trade an Ullmark for a real horse in the top six? Then I'm like, ooh, that maybe my calculation changes then.
Sure.
But it's tough because really all you have to trade is Ullmark and DeBrus.
Right.
And they should trade Ullmark, period, though.
Okay.
If you
Nico takes.
I just have to get this off my chest here.
Okay.
With Ullmark, I think you have to trade him because look at the long-term future of this team.
Yeah,
he has one more season after this. Ullmark's not sticking around here. You have a good prospect in Brandon Bussey down in Providence who should be ready to come up next year, definitely the year after. And Swayman's your guy. Swayman's your clear number one. I think he's better than Ullmark. Ullmark's playoff history, not great. He hasn't really looked terrific in any playoff series he's played. I say you got to give Swayman the shot. Get Ullmark out of there. Take the pressure off of him having to look over his shoulder in a playoff series and let Swayman just do his thing. I think Swayman is easily a top five goaltender in the NHL. And I would trade Ullmark for a first because, like Kadlec said, the Bruins haven't had a lot of first-round picks. You eventually do have to draft guys to win in the NHL because you need them to play well on rookie contracts. So I think you got to trade Ullmark regardless. And his value won't be higher in the offseason. This is going to be the peak of his value.
If I knew we would get Nicky Takes in here throughout the rest of the show, I would have talked to
him. I really would have
earlier.
Taken the last segment off.
Yeah, seriously, come on.
Next time I have dinner plans, I'm leaving the floor.
Best
part
is I completely agree with him.
Yeah, well, and look.
Trade him. Get him out of here. See ya. It was fun. But
here's the thing. Like, Ullmark wins the Vezina last year, has an elite season. Like, Swayman was another top five goalie in the league. Like, that flew kind of under the radar with how great Ullmark was. And the thing about Swayman, too, like, this is not a rookie. This is not an inexperienced. He's been in the league multiple years now.
Right.
He can be the horse. So I'd be open to trading Ullmark, but I would want not just a draft pick, but, like, I would want a real
tangible
horse.
I feel you.
And maybe trade him to Pittsburgh for Sidney Crosby, see if John Henry can help out the city of Boston.
That'd be electric.
You know, that'd be great. We got 30 seconds here.
Okay.
Mike, WEEI Combine, is there one event you would win?
Oh, I'd smoke the throwing competition.
Okay. I think I would win the Wunderlich test.
I was wondering who wins, like, the interviews? Who has, like, the moxie and the swagger to, like, blow teams away?
No, I think...
Who's the charismatic, Jones?
No. Jones, I don't... I think it would be... I could see me and Mego winning the interviews in the Wunderlich. Yeah, you would win the throwing competition. I'd lose all the athletic.
I would lose. Yeah, me too. I always said I didn't play football. I played quarterback.
I'm John Lyons. He's Mike Kadlec. Thank you to Nico Menginello, if I said that right for the third time.
See ya.
Have a great night.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.